Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and get my gavel out and make it official. And good morning. I'm gonna go ahead and call this session of the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner to order. For the record, today is September 9th, 2021 at 9 a.m. We have four items on the agenda today. The first two involve conditional use permits related to the development or construction of accessory dwelling units on residential properties. So we're going to handle those two items first, and then following that will be the Royal Valley preliminary plat and rezone matters. Those are two sort of interrelated but separate matters that we will handle second. So just to sort of start things off, I want to introduce myself. My name is Andrew Reeves. I am an attorney with Sound Law Center who the county has selected to hold certain land use application hearings like these. And today it will be my role to collect evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony to determine in each instance whether the proposals meet the requirements for approval under the municipal code and ensure in each instance that the proposals comply with the county's comprehensive plan, zoning ordinances, critical areas ordinances, and the other applicable sections of the municipal code. To that end, I will accept exhibits related to each of these matters, and I have reviewed these exhibits in advance. And furthermore, I will take testimony from members of county staff, the applicants in each instance and their team, and members of the public that may be interested. I know there are folks that are signed on related to different matters, so we'll try to direct traffic in a very clear manner. But again, the intent is we're going to first do agenda item A, which will be the Gould conditional use permit, followed by agenda item B, which is the Magrichian conditional use permit. And then after that, we'll move to the Royal Valley preliminary plat and rezone. So I think with that, we can go ahead and get started. Just to be clear, I will direct traffic. And when we do, there will be an opportunity for members of the public to testify, and I'll clarify more. It seems unlikely there will be members of the public interested in testifying on the first two matters. We didn't receive any preliminary public comments on those matters. But if you are interested in testifying on either of these first two matters, use the raise hand function when we get to that point in the hearing. So I think with that, we can go ahead and turn it to county staff, who I will swear in, and we'll get started.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Great. And could you just clearly spell your name for the audio recording and explain your role here at the county?
Roxanne Robles. My name is Roxanne Robles. I am a staff planner with the Department of Community Development.
Great. Thank you so much for being here. This is number 2100292, correct?
Yep.
Excellent. Okay.
All right. So can everyone see my screen all right?
I can, definitely.
Okay. Great. So we are reviewing materials for a conditional use permit application for an accessory dwelling unit. The permit number is 21-00292. Applicant last name is Gould. The site is in central Kitsap County in western unincorporated Silverdale. The subject site is accessed from a private road off of Olympic View Road Northwest. It's located at 13571 Coyote Ridge Place Northwest in Silverdale. The assessor's account number is 062501-3-018-2004. The subject site is 3 acres, according to the Kitsap County Assessor. The eastern portion of the property is relatively flat, sloping west to a steep ravine and drainage on the western third of the property that is wooded and mapped as an erosion and landslide hazard. The eastern portion of the property is currently developed with the primary dwelling, a carport, and two detached garages. The central portion of the site is utilized as septic. The current zoning of the parcel is rural residential. The comprehensive plan designation of the parcel is also rural residential. The applicant has requested approval for a conditional use permit that would allow the construction of an 800 square foot ADU for occupancy by the applicant's mother. The property will be served by an on-site septic system and a two-party well. The ADU will be served by the existing driveway. The site plan will submitted items that had applied for a zoning variance and was denied.
Ms. Robles?
Yes.
Are you getting weird feedback or is that just me?
I'm not getting feedback.
Okay, I apologize.
I'm hearing it. I'm hearing it too.
Shoot. Mm-hmm. I could try turning these off and on again.
We'll give it a sec.
Is that any better?
Seems to be.
Okay. Were you able to hear the last few slides?
Yes, I was.
Okay, great. All right, moving on. The primary residence is 2,686 square feet. The ADU is permitted to be one half the size of the primary residence or 900 square feet, whichever is smaller. The ADU is proposed to be 840 square feet and meets this requirement. The proposed ADU is intended to have the same aesthetic as the primary residence. This ADU proposal meets all the applicable provisions applying to special uses per Kitsap County Code 17.410.060, as well as criteria for CUP approval per KCC 17.550.030.A.
Did that conclude your remarks?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, thank you. Just a few questions for you. The staff report at one point said that there was a garage that was built on the property in 1953, and then another place, and what you testified to just now was that there's a carport and two garages. Do we happen to kind of know where that discrepancy came from?
Let's see, I'm looking at the site plan now. There's a garage to the east of the existing house, and then there's a carport kind of on, if you look on the new site plan or either of the site plans, there's a carport to the southwest of the existing house. So I think I was characterizing the carport as a garage.
Okay, so do we think there's one garage and one carport? Is that
yes.
The thought? Okay. Okay. And then answered that question already. Okay, well, this is clearly one of the more straightforward ones we're going to run into. I actually think that was the one question that I had written down for you. So thank you, Ms. Robles.
All right.
Do we have the applicants here today? Let's see. There's someone representing the applicant. Trying to determine if we have either Aaron or Susanna Gould.
I'm not seeing either of those names listed in the attendees.
We do have two call-in folks, it looks like. We can try the number ending in 181.
So.
And they'll have to hit. Hello?
This is staff from the DCD, Mark Corcoran.
Okay, thank you. Well, go ahead and try the number ending in 852 then. And to unmute themselves, Ms. Walston, they'll have to hit star 6 or star 9. I'm trying to remember.
Be star 6.
Star 6, okay.
No comment.
All right.
No comment.
Okay. I don't believe then that was either the Goulds. So it appears that we don't have either of the Goulds here, as far as we can tell.
It does not appear to.
Okay. Well, I do note that under the sort of temporary rules that are in place with COVID, that the record is being left open for an additional week in case, you know, folks wanted to participate but were not able to. So if the Goulds had wanted to provide any additional information, they would have that opportunity after the hearing to submit additional comments. So with that, if there are any folks interested in testifying on this first matter, if you can hit the raise hand function on the bottom of your screen for Zoom. Okay, not seeing any, we'll go ahead and move on, and we'll move on to the second item on the agenda, and this is number 2100494. And it's also related to an ADU. And Ms. Robles, you're also presenting this one, is that right?
Yep.
Okay, please proceed.
Right. All right, can you see my screen all right? Okay, great. So we are reviewing materials for a conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit, permit number 21-00494, the Magrichians. The subject site is in Central Kitsap County in Port Orchard. The subject site is accessed from a proposed private road off of Southeast Van Sciver Road. The project address is 2559 Southeast Van Sciver Road, Port Orchard, Washington, 98367. The assessor's account number is 132301-014. -2005. The subject site is 10.18 acres. The property is currently undeveloped. It slopes east-northeast to the channel of a fish-bearing stream and Category 4 wetland, which travel along the eastern portion of the this map shows the stream as non-fish-bearing, but it was determined by the wetland survey conducted last year that it is indeed fish bearing. The east facing slope is forested with coniferous trees while the hydric area has deciduous trees and shrubs.
Ms. Robles, do you have another way of connecting with the audio? A lot of just this last slide, I could not hear it. It almost sounds like maybe the battery is failing. It's making very high-pitched, strange noises.
I plugged it in. Is that any better?
We'll give it a try. So you were explaining that there's, you know, a stream on the property. You can run us back through that. My apologies.
Oops. Yes. So there is a fish-bearing stream on the property. In this image, it's shown as a non-fish-bearing stream, but it was determined to be a fish-bearing stream by the wetland assessment conducted. I'm trying to find the exhibit number. That is exhibit 8. And So the property slopes kind of towards these wetland and stream features, and the east facing slope is forested with coniferous trees, and the hydric area, with, including the stream and the wetland, have a lot of deciduous vegetation. Are you able to hear me a little bit better?
Yes, thank you.
Great, okay. The current zoning of the parcel is rural residential. The comprehensive plan designation of the parcel is also rural residential. The applicant has requested approval for a conditional use permit that would allow the construction of an 857 square foot ADU for occupancy by the applicant's son. The property will be served by an on-site septic system and public water from the West Sound Utility District. The ADU will be served by the existing driveway. The primary residence is 1,000, or the proposed primary residence is 1,883 square feet. The ADU is permitted to be one half the size of the primary residence, or 900 square feet, whichever is smaller. The ADU is proposed to be 857 square feet and meets this requirement. The proposed ADU is intended to have the same aesthetic as the primary residence. This proposal meets all the applicable provisions applying to special uses per KCC 17.410.060, as well as criteria for CUP approval per KCC 17.550.030A. That concludes my presentation.
Great, thank you. A few questions. So this one's a little different to the extent that it's a totally new development, new home, and a new ADU, as opposed to just adding an ADU. And I guess my question is more of a procedural one, which is, normally I wouldn't be reviewing a single family home by itself being developed. This property is somewhat unique because of the category four wetland and fish bearing stream. I guess I was wondering, is there going to be further review down the road? Are there any requirements in terms of fencing or protection signage for those critical areas? Is that type of review occurring later? I'm just focusing on whether an ADU is the type of thing that would be allowed. Is that the basic concept here?
Yeah. The environmental review has taken place for the ADU and then also for the single family home. And the exhibit 8, the wetland report, delineates the wetland, and it also shows the buffers are shown in the site plan. And all the development is going to be well outside of those buffers. And then the applicant will be required to mark the edge of the buffer and the building stack and have that marked on their site, and also to put the buffer area during construction.
Okay, so there'll be protections in place for those critical areas. I know that wasn't, again, the focus of what I was looking at. And then also to clarify, I believe it was in the geotechnical report, and I might have seen it one other place, I think in the critical areas report. I think both reports referenced the potential of the property being subdivided. Do we happen to know, was that a previous thought or has nothing to do with this?
I mean, it has the potential to be subdivided because in the rural residential zone, minimum lot sizes are 5 acres, and this parcel is 10.18 acres. It cannot be subdivided so that the ADU is on its own parcel. The ADU must be on the same parcel as a primary dwelling.
Sure, but this particular proposal does not involve the subdivision of this property at all. Okay.
No subdivisions are proposed at this time.
Okay. And then procedurally, I had 15 exhibits that I reviewed in advance of the hearing, and this presentation would be, I think, exhibit 16. Does that track with what you have?
Let me pull up the... Yes, the presentation is 16, yeah.
Okay. The As I say, we actually also have placeholders for the hearing sign-in at 17. And then, we had, there was a couple extras. Then additional comments that came in that were submitted.
On this proposal there were?
Yeah, for Megra Chan. There was 18 and 19 that were submitted.
Okay, so I have not seen those yet, correct?
Those were uploaded. They came in after the staff report. They were uploaded. So.
Okay. So I was wrong. So ultimately there would be 19 exhibits. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yeah, 18 and 19.
Okay. My apologies. Thanks for clarifying that. Okay. I believe then that answers the specific questions I had for staff. I'm almost afraid to ask at this point, but do we know if the applicant who bears the burden of proof in all such land use applications, do we have anyone representing the applicant here today? We're looking for...
I think we do, actually. I think George here, just one second.
Okay.
You should be able to unmute, George.
How's that? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, I can hear you. Is this, and I apologize if I mispronounce your name, but is this George Megrishian?
Megrishian, yes, sir.
Megrishian. Okay, I'm going to swear you in. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Thank you. And could you just clearly spell your name for the audio recording?
George, G-E-O-R-G-E, Megrishian, M-E-G-R-I-C-H. I-A-N.
Excellent. Thank you for being here, sir.
Okay, my wife Donna is here also.
Okay, was Donna going to speak today as well? Should I swear her in, or is she just in the room with you listening?
Why don't we swear her in?
Okay. Donna, do you swear affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Great. And just if you could spell your first name, I assume the last name is spelled identically.
First name is Donna, D-O-N-N-A.
Thank you both for being here. So have one of you speak at a time, but this is your opportunity to present any additional information you feel that I should be aware of before I make any decision. And then I may have a few questions for you as well.
Well, we have submitted just about everything we could possibly submit. We have had a lot of items, or the majority of items, approved to this point. And there are other items, hang on for a second. The concurrency test review was approved in March. There is a binder for notice to title that is processing for review. Let's see, we've had the traffic roads review approved. That was on July 20th of this year. The fire marshal review was approved on February 17th. Of this year. And to add to that, we are installing rooftop sprinklers and in-home sprinkler systems in both the SFR and the ADU. That has all been permitted and approved. The work is being done by Sprinks Fire Protection System. Let's see. You want to do that, Donna?
This is Donna. In your staff report on page 14, item number D, under traffic and roads, you asked that we submit an application for concurrency test, and those had been submitted and approved for actually all four permits that relate to this property. And specifically, of course, 21-00494 for the cup. And it shows in your report that has not, as far as I can tell, that it has not been approved. But according to your website, it has.
Okay, and just to be clear, I didn't prepare the report. I'm the hearing examiner. I believe it was Ms. Robles that prepared the report, but I was going to ask about the recommended conditions that are part of that report. And it appears that's what you're talking about. Is that right? You're talking about recommended condition 29.
Well, it's page 14. Let me see. Well, it says it's under traffic and roads on page 14, item number D.
Okay, it doesn't have a 29 next to it, or?
Oh, it does. I'm sorry. It does. Sure, yeah.
So you're saying condition 29 has already been satisfied? Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, there was, this is George, probably tell by my voice. Item number 31, it says, submit plans for construction of the road approach between the edge of the existing pavement that's at the end of Van Sciver and the right-of-way line at all intersections with county rights-of-way. Approaches shall be designed in accordance to the Kitsap County Road Standards. Existing approaches may need to be improved to meet current standards. That, after the pavement ends on Van Sciver, the rest is hard-packed gravel road that goes to adjoining houses, more of a driveway situation than it is a road. When we first received the fire marshal report, they were going to require us to widen that road 20 feet all the way back to Vandercare Road. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. But then we told them that we're going to have sprinkler systems installed in both the SFR and the ADU. And they waived that requirement because of the sprinkler systems. So as we're reading this, it appears that we do not need to improve any roads other than the easement road that we're going to be leveling and compacting with gravel.
Okay, hold on one sec. I believe Ms. Robles had some thoughts or comments she wanted to share on this issue.
Okay. Yeah, if I may, I believe that a lot of these issues are stemming from the fact that you're doing a single family development in, concurrently with the ADU, and the single family development requires the road approach and all of these things that you've already submitted, but they were not submitted with the ADU application. And that's why you're getting these comments. So even though you may have completed all of these for your single family development, they were not submitted with the ADU application.
Okay, so is there a section or are we going to get a request for information for that, which you just spoke?
You'll need to submit those, but it looks like from my end with looking in the permitting system, it's all been approved because ADUs cannot be, developed without a primary dwelling. So these are just things that you'll need to have on hand and submit at a later time, or you can, I can work with you on getting these together, but they are conditions of the ADU approval. So, I mean, you'll be able to develop the ADU just when you submit for your building permit. I believe you're going to have all that on hand because this is for the land use. This permit is for the land use. This isn't a building permit, if that makes sense.
So it's land use, not building.
Yeah.
Okay. When we do get to the building, we are going to have to show road access to the ADU.
And just to clarify my role, kind of what I'm doing today, my major focus is on whether or not an ADU is appropriate on a site like this, the kind of thing that should or ought to be allowed, as opposed to the sort of nitty gritty engineering details. So I believe you know, I'll review everything. And if I do see major issues with the conditions, you know, I'll address them. But ultimately, I think you can work with Ms. Robles in the future to work out all the details. If there are, you know, she'll have the authority to and engineering staff will have the authority to, you know, tweak these things or waive requirements ultimately if necessary for something like this. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Sounds like a plan.
Excellent. Do you have any further thoughts or comments that you wanted to share on the proposal?
Not at this time. I think we've covered everything we wanted to talk about.
Great. And then can you just clarify? I just wanted to make sure I wasn't confused, but there's no plan to subdivide at the moment, right? That's not part of this. Maybe in the future, but not part of the current plan, right?
Maybe somewhere down the road, but immediately, no, there is no plan.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much. Well, let's see if there are any members of the public that were interested in testifying on this particular matter. If so, go ahead and use the raise hand function. Wish there was a simpler way to do this, but okay. Seeing none. Ms. Walston, you're not seeing any, right?
I do not.
Okay, I'm just going to go back to Ms. Robles on behalf of the county. Anything further on this particular matter?
No.
Okay. Well, I will take this under consideration and ultimately produce a decision here. Sorry, I keep forgetting. Because of COVID, the county has determined that the record should stay open an additional week, just in case there were folks that wanted to participate and were unable to. So the record technically will close a week from today, and then I'll produce my decision within 10 working days of the record closing. So I think with that, we can go ahead and end the sort of first half related to the ADUs. So thank you, Ms. Robles. I think you're done. Is that accurate? I'll take that as a yes. And I believe next we have Colin Poff is going to be presenting the next two matters. And I know this is the big ticket item everybody was wanting to hear about today. So without further ado, we'll get Mr. Poff sworn in. Sir, do you swear affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today? And you're going to have to unmute yourself.
I do.
Great, thank you. If you could just clearly spell your name for the audio recording and explain what your role here at the county is.
And my name is Colin Poff. It's spelled C-O-L-I-N-P-O-F-F. And like Roxy, I am a planner, staff planner with the Department of Community Development with the county.
Great, thank you for being here, sir. You have a presentation that you're going to share.
Yes, Amanda will share share presentation here shortly.
Just so we're all on the same page, we're starting with the plat, right? And that would be number 205572.
If it's all right, I'll start with the rezone.
Oh, real? Okay, we'll go the other way. Excellent.
If that's no problem.
Well, maybe you can speak to that too as part of this, which it
sure,
you know. Kind of, it seems like SIPO was done together and some of the reports are address both things, but ultimately the two are independent. Is that the basic idea?
They are independent. I'll explain this in my presentation as well, and it'll show on the map kind of where they are in relation to each other. But they are two separate projects and actually have two separate processes. One is a rezone and the other is a preliminary plat. A rezone is a type 4, meaning that it would have a hearing examiner recommendation, but ultimately Board of County Commissioners approval. The preliminary plat is a type 3, meaning that it would have a staff recommendation followed by a hearing examiner ultimate approval. So the reason that they're together is that these are adjacent to each other and they are under the same ownership in the same area. They're in Royal Valley Farm. However, they're completely separate parcels. So what you see on the screen here is an aerial image of the Royal Valley Farm where the rezone is. However, I'll show in a little bit that to the west of it is where the preliminary plat is for a large subdivision. So that is in a across the creek and actually on separate parcels in a separate area. However, it was best practice to consider these together because they are somewhat interrelated, although they are independent areas and independent projects. So we did do combined noticing for these because we knew we would have a combined hearing for these as well. SEPA, you mentioned SEPA, I'll go through that again. SEPA applied to the plat. However, the rezone was exempt from SEPA. Okay. So I'll explain that as well, but I'll just start with the rezone and I hope this will be clear. So again, I'm Colin Poff. I'm planner with the county and I was a project lead for the Royal Valley Farm rezone 20-05577. The project proposal is this. It's to rezone, or actually you could say downzone, 14 parcels from urban cluster residential zoning to urban restricted zoning. So the UR, or urban restricted zoning designation, would allow for actually a lower residential density of 1 to 5 dwelling units per acre compared to the current UCR, or urban cluster residential designation, of 5 to 9 dwelling units per acre. There is no change proposed to our comprehensive plan map. So it's in the urban low density residential comprehensive plan designation that will not change because that applies to both of these zones. They're both urban zones. So even though it's a down zone, does not require a comprehensive plan change. These lots, these 14 parcels represent 37.2 acres of the total 154 acre Royal Valley Farm owned by the Ross family for over 50 years. And so I guess we'll go on to the next slide now that I've kind of explained of the process. This is the applicant owner would be Lillian Ross. The agents listed on the project, and I believe they're here with us today as well, it would be Bernie Kinworthy with Access Land Consulting, as well as Gary Lindsay. The application was deemed complete back in December 14th of 2020. So about a month later, we issued that combined notice of application for the two projects. That was issued on January 29th, 2021. After a notice of application is issued, the comment period stays open up until the hearing. The project is exempt from SEPA. That is because there is no comprehensive plan change. It's simply a rezone. And because when the comprehensive plan update was done, there was environmental analysis done at that time. And so for that reason, it's per the Washington Administrative Code, SEPA exempt. We did receive, I believe it was 2 public comments in that period, and those are included as an exhibit. So on the next slide, you'll see the big map of Kitsap County pointing to the area where this is, kind of in the Silverdale area there. Those are the 14 parcels listed. This is within the urban growth area, which I will show here shortly. And it's actually in, although it's right there next to Central Kitsap, it's actually just in the North Kitsap Commissioner District, number one. On the next slide, this is zoomed in a bit, give you an idea of where we are. These are the site boundaries for the rezone. You can see the parcel lines there in white with a kind of a large parcel in the northern part of it and smaller 1 acre parcels to the south. Northeast Paulson Road borders the north of the rezone area. Go further to the west, you have Central Valley Road, and you go further to the south and you have State Route 303. And I want to show the next aerial as well, because as we'll get to at the next presentation, this is the border of the preliminary plat. So this has has no common area with the rezone, as you'll see when the last one that was highlighted in orange was the rezone to the east, right? And then it go across Crouch Creek, and here is the border of the preliminary plat. So they are adjacent to each other, but there is no overlapping area. So none of the rezoned parcels would be are proposed to have any development at this time. It's just a rezone. Going on to the next slide. There could be a lot of history and background that we could go into, I think, with just this general area, just briefly. This is a farm owned by Ross family for over 50 years. I believe that it was first considered to be part of an urban growth area in 2006. Ultimately, it was actually added into the urban growth area in 2012. So it has been considered urban for almost a decade at this point. And at that time in 2012, it was zoned as senior living homestead, which is now an obsolete zoning designation, but it did allow for 5 to 9 dwelling per units per acre, similar to the UCR zoning that it has today. But that zoning was specifically for communities, intended for communities 55 and older. And then in 2016, during a comprehensive plan update, that zoning was then changed to what it is today, urban cluster residential. And so there are multiple parcels here. and during those comprehensive plan updates, there would have been public outreach at that time and some environmental analysis as well. And you can see the largest parcel, by far the largest parcel, is the blue there, which is the existing farm. I think it was about maybe 2 years ago, there was a boundary line adjustment that was done to kind of give you the orientation of the parcels that you see today. So one intention of that is kind of to be cognizant of the critical areas are on site. Also, you can see that there's that large farm that kind of borders Northeast Paulson Road. And then if you go north of Northeast Paulson Road, it's rural rather than urban as this site is. So that farm kind of borders that, you know, that border, if you will. And then you have the other parcels to the south and southeast of it. And then a private open space called Nadian Creek Park, 14 acre private open space right there showing that map as well. Next slide is our zoning. So as I said, this is current zoning. The whole area there is urban cluster residential, so the orange UCR that you see there. And you can see the dotted black line, that is the extent of the urban growth area. So it is important to note that it is bordering all that green area, which is rural residential to the west, north, and east. But if you look south, across State Route 303, you're still within the urban growth area with urban UR zoning, which is, this is proposed to be urban restricted, and UL urban low zoning, as well as to the southeast, a little bit of commercial and industrial. So that shows you the urban growth area as well as what is the current zoning. The next is the comprehensive plan map. Again, this will not change as a result of this, but the yellow is the urban low density residential designation. And again, you have the green, which is a rural designation. Next is just an exhibit showing parcel sizes. I think this is just helpful to kind of see what's in the area, get some context. Again, the farm being the largest of those parcels there. The next is to show the critical areas on site. There's a zoom in on the right. Might be a little blurry, I have a better one in a second, but this is just our GIS map, which is consistent with what their environmental and assessment showed as well. But there's a creek on both sides of the property and a creek to the south. That Royal Valley Road that goes through, that actually is not vehicular access to the south. There's no vehicular crossing there. So the access is from the north. So you can see that these are urban zone parcels, but they are kind of encumbered by critical areas, which is one of the intents or the impetus for this this rezone. So the blue is the creeks, and then the green is what's called hydric soils, potential wetlands in that area, and then if you go to the next slide, you'll see that this is just the rezone area, and it's consistent with that. We have a mapped creek and also wetlands with their associated buffers there. And showing how these are kind of sandwiching in this project area, this rezone area. The next slide. Let's see here. The next slide is just development standards. So this is the UCR zoning on the left, which is existing, and the UR zoning on the right, which is proposed. So what's important to note here is the actual existing UCR zoning is an urban zoning. So as of today, there is a minimum and a maximum density that would be required of new development. So that would be a minimum of five dwelling units per acre and a maximum of 9 dwelling units per acre. If something were proposed to be developed here. So the UR zoning is a down zone. It is still urban, but it is the least dense of the urban zones, with a minimum requirement of 1 dwelling units per acre and a maximum of 5 dwelling units per acre. There are also larger lot sizes with the new UR zoning of 5,800 square feet as opposed to 2,400 square feet. Lot width similar, but slightly larger with UR of 60 feet for width and depth, 35 foot maximum building height. There is now with a new UR zoning, there would be a maximum impervious surface coverage and a maximum lot coverage for new development of 50%. And the setbacks are slightly larger there with a front setback of 20 instead of 10 feet. So you see they're both urban, kind of standard urban zones, but it is a down zone here from UCR to UR. The next slide is, I did go ahead and list what's in the staff report of some relevant comprehensive plan policies and goals. So you would see those as pertinent to one rezone criteria number one, which is consistency with the comprehensive plan. So I'm not gonna read all of these, but it's important to note that for various reasons, there are relevant code, relevant comp plan policies here primarily from land use, but on the next slide, also a couple from economic development with, working farm, environmental, as well as parks. So with that, I'll go on to describing the rezone criteria. This is the criteria for approval. This is found in Title 21 in our procedures, so 21.04.230. And there's a response to each of these criteria in the staff report as well. But there are four here. The first being the proposed rezone is consistent with the purpose and intent of the comprehensive plan, respective community or sub-area plan, or other applicable regulations. So you'll see there's relevant comprehensive plan policies. I will go ahead and read part of the code that's about the intent of the UR, the new urban restricted zone. The UR zone is applied to areas within urban growth areas that have been identified with a significant concentration of critical areas regulated pursuant to Title 19, that's our critical areas code, or are planned as green belts and therefore appropriate for lower density development. So this kind of takes into account the idea that there are multiple critical areas on this site. I think that's it for number one. I'll go ahead and go on to the other rezone criteria, 2 and 3. Number two, the proposed rezone will not adversely affect the surrounding community. So going through our analysis of this and also a narrative that was provided by the applicant, we responded to this. One anticipated result of the rezone is to preserve the agricultural land while taking into account the natural environmental features and character along Northeast Paulson Road, which transitions to the north to rural zone parcels. So I think that's worth mentioning because there's kind of an importance that's placed on this larger farm parcel as kind of part of the intent of this proposed rezone, and also its transition from urban to rural when you go across Northeast Paulson to the north. The down zone will remove some existing development pressure in the area, as the existing UCR zoning would require a minimum of 5 dwelling units per acre were it to be developed. Another intended result of the down zone is to further protect the multiple critical areas adjacent to the project area, consistent with the purpose of UR zoning. Number three, the rezone bears a substantial relationship to public health, safety, or welfare of the community. So this rezone is done concurrently with the large preliminary plat to the west, proposed on properties directly to the west under the same ownership. that plat is not within the project boundaries of the rezone. So our understanding is that early outreach conducted by the applicant, this is prior to actually a formal notice of application going out. That indicated that the neighboring community preferred that the parcels in the rezone maintain an existing character along Northeast Paulson Road. Most notably, that large farm contained on parcel 3-031. And also the rezone has a relationship to public health, safety, and welfare, as the UR zone is more protective of critical areas of compared to other urban zoning classifications. Lastly is number 4. To be a rezone, it needs to meet one of these criteria. We bolded number B, that it better implements applicable comprehensive plan policies than the current map designation. So those are the 4 rezone criteria. And going on to our conclusion here, we would review this against our comprehensive plan, countywide planning policies, and the Washington State Growth Management Act. And the process being that we would make a recommendation of approval here with one condition, and then following the type 4 process for, it would be for the hearing examiner to make a recommendation to Board of County Commissioners, which will take this through their consideration to final decision. So with that presentation, we find that it meets those rezone criteria. We recommend approval of the rezone with, there's one condition listed in the staff report. Thanks.
Great, thank you, Mr. Poff. And just to be clear, the condition you were talking about had to do with it not vesting current development standards were it to be approved. Is that the basic concept?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and just to be clear, I think you said it multiple times, but the basic concept here is, you know, for a lot of reasons, there clearly were a lot of updates, changes, the zoning changed multiple times. The comprehensive plan designation has not changed or did not change significantly. And the current zoning and the proposed zoning are both allowed under the comprehensive plan. But the county staff believes that this particular down zone, meaning fewer potential homes were this to be developed, or, you know, less intense development in the future is appropriate. Is that the basic?
That summarizes it. Correct. The comprehensive plan has been how it is since 2012, when this became urban. The zoning has changed since then, but the required density has been the same basically since then. And so when you take into account the existing critical areas and you take into account the farm, the importance of the farm there bordering Northeast Paulson Road, and also kind of take into account the plat that's proposed to the west under the same ownership, that that it would be appropriate to, although still urban, to have this rezoned to UR. That's a kind of a basic summary.
Sure. Okay. Thank you for clarifying. It's so rare that we ever see a proposal to downzone something in the land use world. So I think a lot of people see rezone and they just assume it's going to mean more homes, more developments. So thank you for clarifying that. Just to make sure we're on the same page, your staff presentation was Exhibit 15. Ms. Walston, how many exhibits ultimately were uploaded?
So we will be up to 20, including there's an applicant presentation that they would like to submit also.
Excellent. Great. Thank you for clarifying that. And we do, I believe, have an applicant representative here. Is that either Gary Lindsay or Bernie Kenworthy? I think I saw Bernie Kenworthy raising a hand earlier.
I believe we have a few. We could start with Bernie. Yeah.
Okay, so I think we might end up having more questions for Mr. Poff later, but at this point, we'll turn it to the applicant team to provide any additional information, and we'll start with Bernie Kenworthy.
All right, Bernie, you should be able to unmute. There we go.
Morning.
I'm going to swear you in. Do you swear a friend to tell the truth in any testimony you give here today?
I do.
Great. Can you just spell your name clearly for the record?
It's Bernie Kenworthy, B-E-R-N-I, K-E-N-W-O-R-T-H-Y.
Great, thank you. Your role here today is what?
I'm just the applicant representative, and my role is greatly reduced because Colin gave such a thorough presentation. So, we corroborate everything he presented, and instead of replicating what he presented, I think I'll just take a few minutes to give a really brief history of the site and maybe just reiterate a couple key points for us and to give context for why this rezone is important to the Ross family. So I think I'll be pretty quick here. And as far, Amanda, I heard you say there were other people presenting. That will be part of the plat hearing. So I'll be the only one presenting for this one. And if you could, can I share my screen? I can't, okay. I'm gonna bring up an exhibit that Colin had previously on screen. Okay, can you see the screen?
I can, and I just want to say, if I disappear, I'm having allergies, and it's because I'm muting so that I can grab a tissue. So I promise I'm not leaving the room or anything, but please go ahead.
I feel you, I'm having the same allergies. Okay, so I just a little bit of background on this whole area, just sort of in the interest of context. In 1896, the Glute family homesteaded 160 acres in this Central Valley area. And by 1909, they had sold off all but 40 acres, which is basically the farm area. And so in 1912, the Glutes built the existing farmhouse, which is here, and a barn and some of these existing outbuildings. And that became known as the Royal Valley Farm. The Glute family continued to live there until 1941, at which time they sold to the Mazda family. And so 26 years later in 1967, the Mazda sold their 40-acre Royal Valley farm to the Ross family, who are still the current owners today. And so for over 53 years, the Rosses have purchased property to reassemble that original homestead to the 154 acres that it is today. And so this 37 acre rezone request represents the original Royal Valley Farm as viewed from Polson Road. And it includes the original farmhouse, barn, outbuildings, and pasture land. And then it also includes this 1915 farmhand house and a hay barn that both also front on Polson Road. So, as Colin describe, the west and south are bound by Crouch Creek and their associated buffers and wetlands and buffers, and then on the east by Mating Creek and Royal Valley Creek. In addition, there is a proposed park, which will be part of the plat discussion. It's a 14-acre park to the east of the proposed rezone. As Colin mentioned, kind of just really important point that we want to make is that a boundary line adjustment was recorded in 2019 that reconfigured these existing tax lots. And so this existing farm, which is the blue highlight, is approximately 22 acres fronting Polson. And then remaining vacant lots, which are approximately an acre in size, they were placed intentionally behind this farm area. So they're obstructed from view from Polson. And also they've been moved outside of critical areas. This is the boundary, which is right along the buffer of these critical areas. So the idea was to get lots out of critical areas and then also see what we could do about obstructing views from Polson. And so really, I guess, in summary, just rezoning this 37 acres to urban restricted is important to the Ross family because it aims to preserve this original farm. And it also aims to protect the critical areas that surround it. And it's very important to them to preserve the existing kind of rural farming aesthetic that's along Polson Road. And it would just be a more consistent development. It would be more consistent development with the existing neighborhood to the north, which is rural. And so those are really just the few pieces I wanted to add. And I don't really have anything more to tack on to Colin's excellent summary.
Great, thank you. Just while we have that slide up, could you just clarify one thing? And I believe Mr. Pop spoke to it, but in terms of access, clearly this none of those lots are really developed yet other than the farm, but
there is they would access from Paulson, and there's an existing roadway through here. But it would need to be, if these were to be built on, this roadway would be, you know, upgraded. There's currently a bridge crossing over this creek, but it's not for vehicular access. So vehicles could not come from the south. They would have to access off Paulson.
Okay, so were this area to ultimately be developed, that there is a, you said road, clearly it's a right of way, but there's even a road to some extent.
There's a gravel road through here. Okay. Yeah, it's hard to see. You can kind of see the outline.
Sure. Okay, great. But the access would be from the north as opposed to what we're going to be talking about, which is the plat to the west. Access would be from the south, right?
Yes, correct. And this is old county road through here. So there's existing sewer and water, county water, or Silverdale water, and or North Perry water, and Kitsap County sewer that go through this old area. It's an old right-of-way road.
Great. And then I think the only other question I had for the applicant was in terms of for the rezone, is there any reason why, you know, the commissioners couldn't approve a rezone and deny a plat or vice versa in your view? I mean, I understand why hearing them together makes sense so that, you know, everyone kind of is tracking what's happening in the area, but they're not so interconnected that they need to be, you know, it's not all or nothing. Is that an accurate assessment in your mind?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Well, I think that was it then that I had for you. So if we can stop sharing the screen, we'll go ahead and see if there are any folks that were interested, members of the public. And to be clear, at this point, we're only taking testimony on the very limited specific matter of the rezone, and we'll go to the plat testimony later. So I do have one name. It's Kathy Gorminis. If we can unmute Ms. Gorminis.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. I'm going to swear you in. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Great. Could you just clearly spell your name for the audio recording as well?
It's Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y, Gormanus, G-O-R-M-A-N-O-U-S.
Great. Thank you for being here.
Yes. I just have a quick question. I happen to own Deerhaven Farms to the east of the property noted. And I was curious on the GPS, it signifies and notes that the roadway actually connects all the way through from Paulson to Wagaway 303. So I just wanted to get clarification if that roadway is not going to be cut through all the way as it was presented, why is it showing on the Kitsap County's GPS as such?
Okay, I believe Ms. Kenworthy spoke to the fact that it's a non-vehicular crossing, but perhaps I'll give Ms. Kenworthy an opportunity, and if we have a GIS expert on county staff available at the moment, they can speak to it as well. But Ms. Kenworthy, go ahead.
That is correct. There is a pedestrian bridge crossing. It is not suitable for any kind of vehicular access.
Did that answer? Ms. Gorminis, did that answer your question? I didn't want to put.
The GPS does not show the pedestrian bridge. It actually just shows an actual roadway cut through from Paulson all the way to 303. So it's a little bit misleading, and it just is of concern that there is going to be a cut through. I understand that they're presenting it that it's not because there's a pedestrian bridge that cuts across, but I just want assurance that there is actually going to be no intertie connection to Waga at all, well, as it shows on the GPS.
And just to be clear about my role and what we're doing here today, the rezone has to do with the level of density of development. There's actually no proposed development, and any future proposed development that would involve, you know, businesses or homes or anything to do with that road would have a whole nother level of review. All I'm assessing at the moment is it appropriate to lower the level of density on these 14 parcels? And then I'll make a recommendation to county staff, who would then ultimately, not county staff, the county board of commissioners, who would then ultimately decide. But the specific issue of what happens when the road or development occurs is really not on the table. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you. Hopefully that clarified. But Mr. Poff, did you have anything further you wanted to add?
There's nothing really further. Like you said, there's no development proposed. And then I will say also, when you consider the plat, there's no proposal for connection there on that. So I see what you're saying, the confusion with, even on Google Maps, it shows that Royal Valley Road going through. But it is just a pedestrian crossing. And also there's a creek there. So it's kind of prohibitive for, easily creating a vehicular crossing as well. So not sure why it shows up like that on the map, but there's no, we don't have any indication or proposal that there would ever be a vehicular, any sort of vehicular crossing there.
Mr. Poff, are you indicating that maybe we can't trust the internet sometimes?
Our GIS is not always, I don't know if Google Maps, would accidentally take you on that route. Probably not, but it does show like that.
Jessica, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, so that it is an old county road from a long, long time ago. And so I think it was a road at some point. But to create a crossing at that location, it's a pretty deep ravine. So it would take a lot of engineering and would require a separate approval process. So I just wanted to corroborate that information. But this time there is no proposal on the table to cross that stream.
Excellent. Okay. Did we have any other members of the public interested in testifying on this particular matter?
I am not seeing
any. Amanda, are you?
I do not.
Okay, well, again, as we've already said a few times, ultimately the record will be left open for one additional week because of sort of an abundance of caution in light of what we're doing with remote hearings. But after that, I will take all this into consideration and make a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners, who will ultimately make the decision on this matter. So I think then that'll wrap up item D. And now we can move to the big ticket item, which is item C, related to the plat. And Mr. Poff, you have a separate presentation on this. Is that right?
We do, yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Reeves, if I could ask for just a very brief, maybe 5 minutes at most, quick break, just so I could get an audio break.
That would be fine. We'll take five. Why don't we come back at 10:15, everybody? And thank you for everybody's patience. At 10:15, we'll dive into the plat.
Thank you so much.
No problem.